Narayana namaskrityanaram chevam narotamam devim sarasvati vyasam tritojayam udirayat nascha prayeshva bhadresu nityam bhagavati sivaya bhagavati utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Good morning to everyone. This morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class is taken from Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 41. It's still about Jatparat's instruction to Maharaj Shahugan. So this is Text 41. Kama balim abalam yatata apada katanchin narakad vimuktad umapyevam samsam samsara dhvani vatamanu naralukasatam upayayati ipam uparugatupi. Word for word translation. Kama balim, the creeper of fruitive activities. Avalambya, taking shelter of. Tata, from that. Apada, dangerous or miserable condition. Katanchit, somehow or other. Narakat, from the hellish condition of life. Vimukta, being freed. Puna api, again, evam, in this way, samsara advani, on the path of material existence, vatamana, existing, naraloka saartam, the field of self-interested material activities, upayati, he enters, evam, thus, upari, above, in the higher planetary systems. Kata api, although promoted. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activity, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems, and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagavan, Jiva, Guru, Krishna, Prasad, Pai, Bhakti, Lata, Vich. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 19, Text 151. Even if one wanders for many millions of years, from the time of creation until the time of annihilation, one cannot get free from the path of material existence unless one receives shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. As a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree and thinks that he is enjoying, the conditioned soul, not knowing the real interest of his life, takes shelter of the path of karmakanda, fruitive activities. Sometimes he is elevated to the heavenly planets by such activities, and sometimes he again descends to earth. This is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Brahmanda Brahmite. However, if by Krishna's grace one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, he receives lessons on how to execute devotional service to the Supreme Lord. In this way, he receives a clue of how to get out of this continuous struggle up and down within the material world. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one should approach a spiritual master. The Vedas declare, Tad vijñānātam sat gurum eva vigacche Mundaka Upanishad 1, 2, 12. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tad piripanipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatpadarshina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 21 gives similar advice. Tasmat kunu prapadyeta gigyasu shreya utamam shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upasamasrayam. Any person who seriously desires to achieve real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of his spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti, a great Vaishnava, also advises, Yashat Prashad Bhagavat Prashad, by the mercy of a spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. This is the same advice given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prashad Pai Bhakti Latavid, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19.151. This is essential. One must come to Krishna consciousness, and therefore one must take shelter of a pure devotee. Thus, one can become free from the clutches of matter. Om Magina Timiranjasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Om Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sahabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sunnibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivashari Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarani Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurachishe Namaha Ananda Lilamaya Vigrahaya Himavyadi Vacha Vishwanaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Sri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Sri Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 41. We'll do the English translation this time. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activity, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions. But unfortunately, he cannot remain there. After reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems. In this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Hare Krishna. So, Jatparad is now explaining, after so many things that he's already talked about, so much that, a lot to go over, even try to summarize, because it covers literally chapters, the whole chapter 12, the whole chapter 13, and now we're in chapter 14. So, after this point, he said a lot to Maharaj Rahugan, which is obviously for our benefit, since it's in Srimad Bhagavatam. This time, he's talking about the souls who are here in the material world. That's us. We are included. But the souls who are not Krishna conscious, the souls who don't know how to break free from the material world. And those souls are the ones that go through a cycle of being born in the medium type planet, the middle planet, like the earthly planets which we are in currently. And based on what they do, and based on what they've done in the past, added on to it, karma from previous lives that mature in that lifetime. It's a little bit, you know, there's some karma that doesn't mature yet. But there's some karma that gets matured. It's all discussed in the Nectar of Devotion. So this case, the karma that's mature and what they do in that life too, so both are there. At the end of the life, then they are judged. Yamaraj's department deals with that. All right, so you did very well. Okay, you're going to go to a heavenly planet. You didn't do that well. Well, you're going to go to a hellish planet. That's just the beginning. What happens there? Well, that's what Jatparad is explaining. And it's kind of funny the way he put it. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activity. Normally, in devotee lingo, devotees, we are the ones that accept the shelter of the creeper of devotion, bhakti lata beach. Now, Jatparad is talking about, but other people also accept the shelter of the creeper of fruitive activity. You can imagine what that is. I won't even go there. I'll put too much detail into it. Basically, when somebody lives a material life without Krishna, if they do wonderful things, more of goodness, they will go to the heavenly planets. If they just do more of passion stuff, they sit in this type of planet, medium planet, and if they do more of ignorance stuff, things that are bad for themselves or bad for other people, they're bad towards other people, then they go to a hellish planet. Now, what happens? As a matter of fact, it's funny, last Thursday we were discussing just that with a couple of devotees. The same situation. Up and down, up and down, up and down, never leaving the material world. So, in the higher planetary systems, Srila Prabhupada explains, later, so we'll get to the purport a little later. In the higher planetary systems, there's sense gratification, a lot more sense gratification than souls who are on this planet get, the Earth planet. So there is, in a sense, motivation on the part of those who don't know Krishna consciousness, who are not lucky to get the shelter of Guru and the mercy of Krishna and Guru. They don't know. They think that you go to a heavenly planet. In fact, they don't even know the heavenly planets. They just say when you go to heaven, even though there are millions of heavenly planets, when you go to heaven, you're going to enjoy it. Typical religionist at this point wants to go to heaven so badly. But if you go to the heavenly planets, yes, there is sense gratification. Yes, the bodies are better than this one. Yes, there's longer lifespan. But they think they're going to go forever. And I mean, stay there forever. And that's the mistake. There is no staying there forever. Jatparad says, after reaping the results of his past activities, reaping the results of his past activities, meaning that enjoying, he has to return to the lower planetary system, especially the medium planet. So this is what's going on. You are not Krishna conscious. You come to this earth. You probably have been to all kinds of planets for millions of years in millions of universes. That's the case for many people. Not everybody, but many people. You are in a human body. So you can, in fact, figure out what's right, what's wrong. Anything less than a human body, they cannot understand Krishna. So first of all, we are already fortunate to be in a human body. But they don't take the Krishna consciousness, so they are unfortunate. But they don't know. They think, oh, we're enjoying life. Oh, we're religious. So somehow, we're going to be rewarded. When I go to heaven, when I get to heaven, people are just so anxious to go to heaven. Ajahn Bhaiya says, it's like, you've done something wonderful here, more the goodness things, you've been kind, you've been tolerant, but you haven't been connected with transcendence. You don't do the transcendental thing, the Krishna consciousness thing, the bhakti yoga, you don't do that. So actually you're unfortunate, but you don't know. If these people who are like that, they are unfortunate. But at the same time, they think they're going to be in good shape because they're going to go to the heavenly planet, heaven, when they die. And there's some of us that have relatives that keep telling us, and I know I'm one of them, I have a sister that is hell-bent on trying so hard to get me to go to heaven by connecting with Jesus. Well, now, yes, I was Catholic to begin with, but I've had the mercy now to become Hare Krishna. And there's no way I'm going to change to go anywhere else. She's wasting her time. 26 years she fought me, and finally I came out and told her, you really think that in 26 years, if it was something I'm connected to was not good for me, I wouldn't know by now? Now they tell her to her face. And that's what probably stopped. And then I stopped talking to her for almost 2 years because she was keep bugging me. You know, and then she realized, oh, I miss my brother. So then finally she kept quiet about it. And so then I accepted her again. So her brother and sister. And now I preach to her. She still won't take the Krishna, though. I mean, people are so hard-headed. Anyway, that's my personal situation. That's her problem. She's the one that's unfortunate. But you can go to the heavenly planets. It's like you've accrued all of these pious activities. And you go to the heavenly planet to simply spend that in enjoyment. Almost like you are on the earth, you have done so many good things, and it's added to your religious bank account. I said, that is spiritual. I said religious bank account. Because that's where they are in religion. So, and people who are good also generally, they all leave the body. Yamaraj determines you're going to the heavenly planet. It's like, my Guru Maharaj put it this way. It's like going on an extended vacation. Yeah, you enjoy when you're there. Enjoy more than the place you used to be or where you normally stay or work. But the vacation time will be over. And when it's over, guess what? You're going home. Back to the same grind, back to the same, whatever you call it. People have all kinds of names for it. The life in the material world, the life in the planet, this planet. Rat race, you name it. All kinds of names have been given to the suffering condition that's here. Rat race. Very ironic, huh? You can imagine rats racing. Where are they going? Nowhere. But they don't see that they won't really get saved and get out. Get out, liberated, and get out of the material world. They have no idea. Now, so, what's the up and down thing? Well, if you finish up your pious activities, the rewards of the pious activities in the heavenly planet, and the person returns to the earth, born again as a human being. Then they're going to lead life. A person has, exhausted their pious credits. So they start over. Some of the karma for previous life that they didn't suffer for, may also be added to that particular life. It gets a little complicated here. But Yamaraj needs to figure it out. The person has a human body again, living. Does he do good? If he does good, sure, he'll go again to a heavenly planet. If he does a lot of good, he'll go to some heavenly planet where the enjoyment is even better. Sense gratification is better. If you don't so, yeah, you go to another heaven planet. It's okay. Better than the life on the earth in terms of sense gratification, and more wealth is there. But they will return. And by the way, Srila Prabhupada has described this in Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. From Brahma Loka to Patal Loka, from Brahma Loka, the highest heavenly planet, but to Patal Loka, the lowest and the most disturbing and hellish planet, where the punishment is most severe, all are places of suffering. The heavenly planets are also places of suffering, which means a person goes to the heavenly planet and thinks that they're going to enjoy, they're going to go find out that the enjoyment, whatever they call, we call sense gratification, is more than what's on the earth, but there's also distress. So happiness and distress are on every planet as long as you are in the material world. You're going to experience some happiness and some distress. Because the higher you go on the heavenly planets, the higher you go, the universe is set up that way, right? 14 planetary systems. And if you count from the top down, then the earthly systems are the seventh. So there are 6 heavenly planets above that. Which we call Earth is Bhumi, then there's Umbu, then Bhuva, then Swarga, and then there's 4 more, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Swagaloka. They're all there. I didn't have them in that order, but the top one is Satyaloka, which is Brahmaloka, the top one. And that's what that particular shloka was about. The most enjoyable sense gratification place is Brahmaloka. But even there, there's some suffering. Why? Well, imagine the situation of everybody having so much material sense gratification opportunities. You don't even have to think about the heavenly planet as an example. Let's just come here, because on earth too, there are rich people. Millionaires and some billionaires. Now, all of them are rather poor compared to those who are in the heavenly planets. There's that much wealth available in the heavenly planets, even more. But that's what we have experienced here. So let's say a person has $5 million. They're wealthy. Somebody else has $8 million. And a $5 million person finds out that this other person has $8 million. And so they can do more. They have more toys to play with. Somebody may have $50 million. Somebody may be earning $500 million every year. Every year. So much money coming. So obviously, unless they are Krishna conscious, the person that is earning or getting $5 million a year would be envious of the person that's getting $500 million a year. That's just the way people are. So envy or rivalry, it doesn't stop. It goes on. It goes on in the heavenly planets. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Navayugendras, the 9 Yugendras, they are 9 of the 100 sons of Maharaj Shabadi. The Navayugendras, in one place in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, they met up with Maharaj Nimi. And Maharaj Nimi, pious king, he was in the middle of a yagya, he saw them coming, and he was extremely happy to see them. And he met them and literally made an exception to interrupt the yagya just to welcome them and make them comfortable. And then he started asking them questions. He asked, Maharaj Nimi asked 9 questions, 1 question per Navayugendra, per Yugendra. 9 questions. And the first question he asked was, what is the highest good? Well, if you've been in devotion service, you should know by now, the highest good is to involve a person in devotion service. Mm-hmm. It is also in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-6, Savai Punsam Paro Dharmo, Yato Bhakti Ahoksije. Ahoitiki Apatiyata, Yayatma Supersediti. So that's the answer they got from that question, but in a very, very, very detailed form. Savai Punsam Paro Dharmo, Yato Bhakti Ahoksije. It means that the most important, the supreme occupation for everybody is that which satisfies the Supreme Personality of God, which means Bhakti Yoga. And the conditions are, you shouldn't have any motivation, personal motivation behind it, that I'm doing this and I'm going to get something from it, and expect something from it. And you shouldn't stop either, apatiyata. There shouldn't be any impediment stopping it. And that's how you're going to please the soul. Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we ourselves become happy when we do that. So this is explained in detail. Now, I'm back to the point. I know we're talking about the heaven planets. One of the questions that Maharaj Nimi put to the Navayugendras made him refer to the heavenly planets. And that's when he talked about the rivalry that's there and all kinds of problems that is there. And sometimes the head, the king. Without that, we'll be in trouble. Without taking Krishna consciousness seriously, we're going to be in trouble. So those of us who know that the opportunity is there for us to go to the spiritual world, bypass all of that problem and go to the spiritual world, if we don't take advantage of it, then there's no one to blame but ourselves. Look in the mirror and say, how come I lived my life this way and I did not take things seriously even though I heard about it and Krishna had put so much there in terms of mercy. Mercy in the point of he himself coming speaking Bhagavad Gita. Mercy in terms of the pure devotee talking about him in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mercy in terms of his own expansions like Maharaj Shabadev and Prithu Maharaj. And the list goes on, all talking about Krishna. And all kinds of systems, you know, Banashram, everything has been put out there that we could possibly get. And then the different ways of worshipping, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We're supposed to do 64 rounds as Vaishnavas. The Prabhupada, the Guru's mercy, brought it down to only one quarter as a minimum. Chant minimum of 16 rounds and obey the regulated principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, fish or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, cleaning us up, cleaning our consciousness, making us live like real human beings, not, you know, souls in human bodies, and then the human bodies are doing all kinds of things at the animal level. All of that's been made available for us. Now, what excuse do we have? Therefore, we take things seriously. Follow the instructions of Guru. For us, the Param Guru is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And all of the Gurus, His disciples, preach based on what He has taught. He is a master preacher and savior, literally, because He's gotten permission from Krishna so that we can chant less than 64 rounds daily, but at least 16 rounds daily and still be allowed to go back. We are actually disqualified. By Vaishnava standards, the Vaishnava does 64 rounds. We don't do 64 rounds. Therefore, that alone is disqualification. But the mercy of Guru, the mercy of Guru, Srila Prabhupada has sought permission. First, he brought it down to 32 rounds when he first heard that the devotees were struggling with 64. He brought down to 32, still devotees were struggling. They confessed to him, they still couldn't do it, and he said 16 rounds, minimum. And he says, if you go below that, then something is really, really wrong with your consciousness. So we don't have an excuse. We have it made. There's one sannyasi that said, Krishna consciousness is on sale now. It's been reduced in terms of what? The purchase price. It's been reduced. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, is already the easiest way to become Krishna conscious of the four yugas. Satya Yuga, you have to meditate for 60,000 years, golden age. Treta Yuga, you have to do extensive sacrifices. Meditation, yagya, sacrifices. Dwapara Yuga, you have to do deity worship, not like we're doing here. A little deity worship, what they do is way more expensive, and a lot of money goes into the deity worship there. But in Kali Yuga, you open your mouth and you say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the benefits from that are as good as all those other ones in the other yugas that require so much time and so much money and so much effort. So what excuse do we have? And we're supposed to chant 64 rounds and we couldn't. And so Srila Prabhupada says, all right, do 16. So the mercy situation has been brought down so much. Mercy has been literally poured on us. You just take advantage of it. And if you don't, look yourself in the mirror and say, who's to blame? So it's there for us. We should take advantage of it. So Jatbaraj is saying, no matter what you do in this material world, if you're not Krishna conscious, then what's going to happen? You're going to go up to the heavenly planets for pious deeds. You're going to go down for impious deeds. And then after you go down to the hellish planet because you're in the mode of ignorance. Bhagavad Gita also says you do bad things, you go to hell. But in the mode of ignorance, same thing as doing bad things, you do not get a human body next life. So basically, you're going to go to suffer at the hellish planet for a while. It's never forever. Those religionists who think go to hell forever, that's a joke. Krishna won't punish everybody forever for a finite number of sins. That doesn't even make sense. So we won't be belabor it. Heaven is for a period of time. Hell is for a period of time. Whatever hellish planet. But when the person comes out of a hellish planet, because he acted in the mode of ignorance, then the next phase kicks in. He cannot get a human body. They have to go to one of the bodies of the lower species. He can't understand Krishna. So when somebody does the wrong things and they wind up going to a hellish planet, they really have been set back quite a few lifetimes. Suffering in particular heavenly planet, which it goes along with the intensity of the wrongdoing, which means if you do more wrong, heavier wrong, you're going to go to a place in the hellish planets where there's more suffering than other hellish planets, lower still. And then when you come out, you're going to be put in a body of you could wind up in the aquatics, which is the lowest, and go through the whole system of aquatics, trees, insects, birds, animals. Before you get a human body, you'll be there a long time. A long time in the material world. So we are fortunate that the Hare Krishna Mahamantra can save us like that. Srila Prabhupada said, anyone who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra according to Lord Chaitanya's instruction, what he's done, he came to show how to get out of the material world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, I'll quote him directly. He says, anyone who dances in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will never see a hellish planet. Will never see a hellish planet. Well, we have Gonitai deities and Gonitai pictures all over the place. The Lord's already given mercy. The mercy is all around us. So for us, we chant Hare Krishna. Gonitai is already made available to us in deity form and picture form. So all we have to do is just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have a very good chance of going to the spiritual world. Definitely the chance of escaping hellish planet. That's there. But even having said that, we need to be careful not to be offensive. See, aparad will not get us out of the material world though. We'll stay. We'll have to have another life. And that's what devotees go through, and that's troublesome. We have to take another human body. At least they don't go to animal body, but human body. But still, you're not gone though. You have to come back and, you know, a baby again and then to crawl. They, you know, as many tade, hey, koma yobanam jara. The tade hantara prapti, dhira statana muhyati. The soul will go through I call them small, medium, large. And baby, teenager, grown up, and old man, and then, you know, it breaks down, and you're a devotee, and you could have gone, but you didn't take Krishna consciousness seriously, so now you get born into another body, and you're still here, with more suffering. So we have the chance to go, and we should take advantage of it. What is the advantage we should take? One of the most important things is to approach a spiritual master, and that's the rest of what Srila Prabhupada talks about in the purport. Starting with Lord Chaitanya's quote, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The translation is, if even one wanders for many millions of years, from the time of creation to the time of annihilation, that's a long time, one can still get free from the path of material existence. But if you don't do that, then you're going to get stuck here. But how do you get out? You receive the shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Meaning that, another way of putting it is, even if one has been here, one's soul has been here a long time, and fortunately, he comes into contact with the devotee of the Lord, and the devotee of the Lord directs that person towards Krishna consciousness. In any of the ways that we practice, either through a lecture, or recording of a lecture, or a book, or at the very least, when the person is so down, so much in the mode of ignorance, prasada. Prasada is Krishna's mercy. When the person receives any of these, or a combination of these, then their spiritual life will begin. Now, the devotee that did it, that gave that mercy, may be one of us. You say, oh, we're not 100% pure. That may be true, but we're connected to Srila Prabhupada, and he's pure. So we don't, it doesn't matter. We just have to put out the work. We should be the hands and the legs for Srila Prabhupada. Get it out. Srila Prabhupada has already made it available. Krishna consciousness and the path back to Godhead. So we should take advantage of that and help the spiritual master to just give so much mercy to more and more and more people who are lost, thinking that they're enjoying. And that's the problem. And that's why Srila Prabhupada puts it this way, in the next sentence, as a monkey takes shelter of the branch of a banyan tree, and he thinks that he's enjoying. That's exactly what's going on. The conditioned soul does not know the real interest of his life, and therefore, it takes shelter of karmakandic, fruitive activities. I want to enjoy myself, and I want to get it this way, and if I do that, then I'll enjoy it, and therefore, let's cheat a little bit. Sex life is for birth, but I know that there's enjoyment in it, therefore, I'm going to involve myself in it, even though I don't want children, and if I don't want children, then I should take a contraceptive to stop it, or take a chance, and then I'll be pregnant, and then take the child out. And it's one confusion after another. And all of that. People who do that, they pay for it. They pay dearly for it. Otherwise, they get punished for it. So, a monkey, it's like a monkey. But they think they're enjoying, though, because a monkey takes shelter of a branch of a banyan tree. Oh, I have shade. It was so sunny. And now I'm underneath it. Therefore, I'm enjoying. The monkey thinks like that. Or people who think like that. Srila Prabhupada says they don't have human consciousness. They know better than animals. They can't see what's right. So then he quotes a lot. Srila Prabhupada quotes Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text 13. Many, many times. Yashatma buddhi kunapeti datuke. Sadi kalata dishuboma ischadi. Yateta buddhi salile na kahiche. Janeshu abigesu sa eva gokara. He says, the person who thinks that this body is himself. But he says, kunape is a bag. Tridatuke, a bag of the three dhatus, copper, vita, vayu, mucus, bile, and air. That's what this body is. Just a bag of these things. In other words, there's nothing to it. But a person who thinks a human body, which is like this, is actually him or her. And the person who thinks the extension of himself, his family members, his property, And he's very, very much connected to where he was born. I'm American, I'm Indian, all the, it's called designations, upadhi. We are not American, we're not, the soul is not American, the soul is not Indian, the soul is, but a person who thinks like that. And yet, that same person that goes to a place of pilgrimage, the Tete Budi Salilina Kahichit, goes to a place of pilgrimage and thinks that I can act like a tourist. I can take pictures of everything I see. Hmm? The sacred waters, the rivers, the Yamuna, the Ganga, the temples are there. We're talking about India now. Vrindavan, take pictures there. Go to Mayapur, take pictures. And take a dip. Hmm? It's warm. We just take a dip in the water. Oh, I see people take Ganga in the palm and the offer, so I'll do the same thing. In other words, they're doing it without any sense of understanding of why they're doing it. So, it's been described the person who is like that, who just goes through this mundane thing, even though they are in a place of pilgrimage, rather than taking advantage of talking to those who know spirituality connected with that place of pilgrimage. Daneshu Abhigeshu. Not talk to those people. Then Saeva Gukara. That person is certainly go a cow or kara a donkey. Which means the person that does not, in summary, the person that thinks that this body is himself, he thinks that the family is his property, he thinks that his country is what is worshipable, they go to the place of pilgrimage, don't take advantage of a spirituality that's there, but they go do things mundane. That person is no better in consciousness than an animal. So that's what's happening to a lot of people. And so we have a lot of work to do. They're going to go up to the heavens, heavenly planets, come down to the hellish planets, and then they start again. Start again is always medium planet. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to be pious, but no Krishna consciousness, no chant. Sure, go to heavenly planet. Go exhaust your credits and also face all kinds of rivalry and all kinds of, you know, sometimes there are fights. Rivalry will result in that. People cursing other people and all of that in the heavenly planet. All right, so you exhausted your whatever pious credits. Come down to the earth again and this time do bad things, more passion things, which will keep you here in the heavenly planet next life. Or you harm other people, or you harm yourself by putting wrong things or things that are not healthy for us in our bodies. All of them are wrong things. So now you go to hellish planet and suffer there. And then you get born in maybe an animal. You can't even chant Hare Krishna now. Well, we're talking about devotees have exceptions. So we're talking about a non-devotee. Totally lost. Animal body. Before you go through the cycle, or maybe lower than that, and finally you come to a human body, try again. Well, you're going to be on the earth back and forth forever. Goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down. And that's what Jagbhad is describing. It is not worth it. You're going into, is that medium security prison, the earth. If you do better, you go to the minimum security prison, that's the heavenly planet, and you come back to medium again. If you do badly, you go to the maximum security prison, that's the hellish planet, and when you release, then you go to some non-human type body and go through all of the whatever, you know, one body after another based on what Yamaraj plans, you get another human body, start again. When are you ever going to get out of here? Be in jail. Heavenly planet is minimum security jail. Hellish planet is maximum security jail. And we're in the middle. There's no getting out. So you have to take this process seriously and take advantage of the mercy that's been put in this system. Even if we don't become pure, and we won't, so this is, it's very difficult. But we can grow in Krishna consciousness, and you take shelter of a spiritual master, and there's a very, 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 very good chance that he will guide, and we take his, all we have to do is take his instructions seriously. Whatever he says, we do. The spiritual master is bona fide. In ISKCON, they are bona fide. You don't have to worry about that. If they're not bona fide, they're not going to be spiritual master. That's taken care of, is your Papa's movement. So you take shelter of a spiritual master in initiation, get initiation, you are formally connected to the system, and now, don't offend anyone. Don't offend, in other words, don't do anything for someone to feel uncomfortable. So even if you have a point in a discussion with someone and you think that person is wrong and you're right, how you present your case should be such that the other person should not get upset with you or with how, you know, they heard it. In other words, don't use harsh words. Make your point, but make your point in such a way that the person won't be upset. And if the person is too upset, that's not the time to talk. Excuse yourself and talk another time and use mild words at the time that they can listen. Or if they won't listen at all because the ego is so big, go find someone that can talk to them, someone that they respect, and have them speak on your behalf. Go to that extent of making sure nobody gets bothered. Then Krishna says, yes, this person is serious. Of course, you have to chant Hare Krishna too. And hear lectures. You have to render service to the pure devotee. You don't know who the pure devotee is. Some of them are Sri Papa, you know it's a pure devotee. But you don't know others, they may be pure devotees. You don't know. So you just render service across the board with the same intensity. Across the board, everyone. Treat everybody nicely. And then you keep hearing Bhagavatam and take the instructions you give Bhagavatam to heart and live like that. And then the spiritual master will give you mercy. Krishna will help you get a guru. Yashat Prashad, Bhagavat Prashad. Get a guru. And they will lead you back to the spiritual world. Just take advantage of it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we'll do the translation again. When the conditioned soul accepts the shelter of the creeper of fruit of activity, he may be elevated by his pious activities to higher planetary systems, that is the heavenly planets, and thus gain liberation from hellish conditions, because there's a lot of wealth there, you know. But unfortunately, he can't remain there. You see, you know, after reaping the results of his pious activities, he has to return to the lower planetary systems, usually the medium one, which is lower than the heavenly ones. So in this way, he perpetually goes up and comes down. Goes up and comes down. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, Gautam Prabhu.
Thank you. Very nice.
Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Very good point you make. The point you make, I understand you. You know, there are classifications. You know, first class devotee is there, second class devotee is there. All of that's been given. But the point is, if you offend a first class devotee, if you offend a second class devotee, if you offend third class devotee, you still committed aparad. You still committed aparad. And aparad is sunyarad, aparad, Radharani gets upset with you. You can't go back to the spiritual world. So even when the classes are there, as long as the person is a devotee, whatever class they are, if you offend them, that is considered aparad. Now granted, if you offend a first class devotee, a pure devotee, yeah, it's more serious. It's like a person who is a murderer. He has a gun. He shoots somebody. Well, let's look at a class. Say you shoot somebody who, by, you know, profession, is a person who maybe is a janitor. Not to put down janitors, every job, you know, you support yourself. That person is dead. The police will catch the criminal. They will prosecute the criminal in the court system, especially in America. But if the person that is the murderer takes the same gun, similar type bullet, and shoots the president of the country, do you know the kind of punishment they're going to go through? But the president is also a man. Just like the janitor is also a man. And the crime basically is the same. But they're going to punish you more though. Right? So the class is there. The president is considered materially higher than the janitor. But the offense is offense. You still will be in the system. The only defense is you're going to get greater punishment if you offend guru compared to offending somebody who is maybe a bhakta or a bhaktin. But the point we're making is, you don't know whether the person that you may be upset with is acting in yoga maya. You see, the point is, some people are told, those who are, no, let's put it this way. those who are very, very, very prominent pure devotees who are coming to do a particular job, like Srila Prabhupada, they will be announced in the Shastra. You know they're coming. But as Gopakumara saw in, you know, Bhagavatamrita, you find out when he was going through his, I won't tell the whole story, it's long. He was here on earth and then he went through from the guru's, I'll just tell a short version of it. From a guru's mercy, he had a mantra that he could penetrate the earth and went all the way up to the spiritual world. Now, when he was going, when he penetrated the universe and got past the universe coverings, then of course he's in the medium area. Lord Shiva, he met him, and you know, he saw so many other things that's happened. Again, I won't get into detail of it. He is predicted there in this whole Bhagavatamrita story. But what the reason I'm bringing it up is he saw millions of people from the spiritual world coming to the material world. Millions. Now, we know about Srila Prabhupada. One person that's coming. That's predicted in the Shastra. But Gopakumara saw millions of people coming. So a lot of people go to different universes. Not everybody is announced. There are pure devotees here who are among us, who are pure, but they came to help in not so prominent position like Srila Prabhupada. The Shastra doesn't say everything now. God is unlimited, remember? So you're not gonna, the point I'm making is you're not going to hear everything from the Shastra. There's more happening than even the Shastra says. So those who are most prominent, they're going to spread Krishna consciousness the whole world over. Yes, that will be talked about by Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that's there. But in a sense, small-time service people who also come from the spiritual world. And some of them are among us. They weren't predicted, but some of them are our gurus. They're also from the spiritual world. That's the one that's under the umbrella of what Gopakumara saw, millions of people coming to different planets. So they will come. Some of them won't be gurus. They will be pujaris. You see that they are very, very exemplary in how they do service. You have to honor everybody. Everybody. Madhyam, Uttama, Kanishta, you don't know. You don't know. And if you don't know, you serve everybody wonderfully. That's it. I mean, with the good intention though, you know, obviously you serve guru differently a little bit, quantity wise, and you know, but your intention should be the same. Intention, the way you serve guru, you should serve devotees the same way. Hare Krishna. The same intention.
Offense, I was saying, even Krishna Adhikari or Uttam Adhikari, we need to serve accordingly. If we'll serve a guru or a Maharaj in a different way than we'll serve a devotee who is just a neophyte devotee.
Yes.
So it's,
I'm not disagreeing with that. But the heart that we put in it, in the service. Okay, let me just give you an example. Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya, wonderful devotee, predicted he was going to be here. He came, he had disciples, and just like, you know, what happens here, the physical body, after a point, they're going to die. They're going to leave. He's the Prabhupada has left us physically, although we don't even feel his absence because his books are here. You know, so Ramanujacharya, at the time that he was leaving, his disciples were all around him, very morose, some of them crying and so on. The first advice he gave them was, number one, he praised them. You all served me so nicely. Then he said, serve each other with the same intensity that you've used to serve me. And that's the point we're making. The intention behind it. Every devotee should, you know, you can serve based on who guru is. There's certain things that guru needs that you serve that you won't serve other devotees. That's true because they're not in that position. But your heart should be there though. Your heart should be there to the extent that you serve guru. Put that same intensity or heart or well wishes or well in, you know, the intentions for everybody else. Whether they are third class or whatever. Don't worry about the class. Just serve them well. Because Krishna is watching us, everything we do. That's the point we're making. Hare Krishna.
Yes, please. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else has a question? Can ask? question.
Hare Krishna, Jai. Gaurishri Prabhupada. Go ahead, B.
So, you say you shouldn't upset anyone, but what about as a parent? Even if you speak nicely, if you tell your kids something they don't want to hear, they get upset, so should you avoid it?
How you say things is what matters the most. You're breaking up a little bit, so I thought I heard some of the questions, but the end, I kind of got what you were saying. So if you need to put it another way after I finish, go ahead and do that. But for now, you said they might get upset, you know, because of how you said things and you didn't intend to make them upset, but they're upset anyway. Well, that's what I think you were saying. And if that's correct, then the response is, you cannot control other people's feelings. They are who they are. Remember, they are also conditioned souls. They have faults. There are some people with such big egos that even if you put something nicely, just because you're correcting them, they say, who are you to tell me what to do? There are people like that. There are people like that. And they're going to get upset. Is that your fault? No. If you said whatever you're saying in a respectful and a mild way, it's not your fault. That's the person's ego that's kicked in. You have nothing to be sorry about based on their behavior. But how you back out of it is also very important. And what do you do when you need to back out of it? You apologize. Now, you're not apologizing because you're wrong. You're apologizing because you've seen them upset and you don't want the matter to get worse. So you want to back out of it. And a person like that, if you tell them you're sorry, most likely they're going to stop getting upset with you because, you apologize. See? No, actually it's their ego that you have stopped from getting worse. You understand what I'm saying? You know, so then you back out that way. You back out. It's very subtle. Because sometimes people say, well, but I wasn't wrong. Why should I apologize? Well, the answer is, if you keep extending the same thing and trying to prove your point and he gets more and more upset with you, who's going to win in the end? Aren't you going to wind up getting an enemy in your hands? You certainly don't need that. So that's where your humility should kick in. And say, humility says, let me back out of it in a way that this person won't continue to offend themselves and offend me. Because they shouldn't get mad at me for how I put it or how I brought the point out. But they're mad because they're too proud. And so, all right, I'm sorry. The person, okay, sure. Now, you say, the extension of it is, but God knows that you weren't wrong and you've apologized. Well, guess what Krishna will do? It's only a matter of time that Krishna will set up something to teach that person a lesson that they were the ones that were wrong. But you don't have to tell them you're wrong. You can make your case, and if they hear you, fine. That means they're humble enough to hear you. And if they got a big ego and they wouldn't hear you, back away nicely. If you just look at them, you know, in a stern way and walk away, then you've been rude to that person. So that's why you have to back away in a mild way. And then the easiest way to back away is to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. No, that, and then, okay, that's it. Hare Krishna. And then you just go your way. And you know in your mind you didn't do anything wrong. So it's not going to be counted against you because you were respectful. The person simply didn't take it. All right? Well, you go on, chant, keep chanting. It's only a matter of time things are going to happen to correct that person's bad way of looking at things. Now, it doesn't mean it will be reported to you, though. Don't think, oh, I'm going to look out for when will God get this person? When will Krishna correct this person? That's not your business. You just keep going with your service and your attitude. And Krishna will take care of things. One day you see this person is being nice to you and all of a sudden, whoa, is that the same person that was rude to me? It does happen. Don't worry about it, though. You just keep going. You just stay focused on how you're going to get the mercy of Krishna and Krishna be pleased with you and Guru be pleased with you. That's what you focus on. Everybody else, yeah, you help to the extent that you can. And if they won't and they're too rude, then you leave them alone. You apologize and leave them alone. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Guru's mercy. Any other questions or comments? Jaya. Kripa Sindhu Devi Chaptita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.